Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He has been so instrumental in helping a couple national franchise companies establish national footprints. He routinely hosts Franchise Masters franchise show and is a tremendous matchmaker, as he is a franchise consultant with what is widely considered the top franchise consulting firm in Franchoice, Drew Carpenito. Welcome to the show.
I don't think anybody has ever introed me like that before. Thank you for that gracious introduction. No, I'm glad to be here, man. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on, and it's well deserved. My goodness. I was looking forward to diving into your journey and helping our audience really level up through your experience and your career in franchising. So many people have these assumptions about franchising and frankly don't even really know what franchising is or really what it's all about. And no one necessarily raises their hand and says, oh, you know, I'm getting into franchising. Most people assume that franchising is strictly McDonald's or Burger King and don't necessarily understand the value and the power behind what it truly is to be in business with other business owners and through that partnership, deliver value, some service or product to the marketplace on a national level. It's just such an exciting industry and it's really taken off and hit some incredible heights over the past decade and is showing no signs of slowing down. And so my point is, Drew, most people don't raise their hand and say, I'm getting into franchising. So I'm curious, how did franchising find you?
Yeah, well said. It definitely found me. So I went to work for a company straight out of grad school called AdvanaClean, which is a disaster restoration company. So, you know, water damage cleanup, mold remediation, air duct cleaning. And it was a regional company at the time and had this really, you know, amazing founder, Jeff Duden. And a couple months after I joined, Jeff pushed the button on franchise expansion. And I did not go to grad school for franchising. When he announced it, I had all the misconceptions and stereotypes that most people do. And I was like, what the heck is this franchise thing? And he's like, basically, here, Drew, here's the deal. We're taking the company in a new direction. What you do is probably not going to be needed much longer. So you can either stick around and we're going to figure out this franchising thing together or go get a job at the banks, which is what everybody does in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where I live. So I think I was 24 at the time, had no kids. I had a dog. He's a cool dude. I was like, all right, man, I'll stick around. What's the plan? He's like, I don't really know. We're going to figure it out. And I was like, all right, well, that sounds cool. So that was it. That was how I got into it. And we franchised AdvanaClean with the team that had been with the company for a long time. We didn't bring any consultants in or anything like that. We had some weird attorney helping draw up the documents and stuff like that, but it took a couple years. But Jeff had a vision, and the vision was to, at the time, like leverage a lot of technology and create this like this value add system to the franchise owners through a centralized call center, an internet-based operating system, which, you know, this is back in like 2004, 2005, right? So like this is before all this stuff kind of became commonplace in a lot of franchises nowadays. But in the home service space, if you can answer the phone when the customer calls, like, and show up on time, you're kind of winning the game already, right? So there were some cool angles to it. So we're using Salesforce.com back then. So we had a bunch of projects that we worked on for a couple of years to kind of get the foundation in place and then started a franchise really in 2006. And then it was a little bit of right place, right time, man. Then the world changed in 2008 and the recession hit. And we didn't know it, but we were sitting there with one of the more recession resilient business models out there with this disaster restoration business. And It's not sexy. Cleaning up stuff that you don't want to clean up when bad things happen. But anyways, that helped us kind of catch the tailwind that we needed to really take it national. So fast forward, and we took it national, and I was along for the ride. And that's why I did everything with Jeff and the team, I don't know, from recruiting franchisees to all kinds of stuff that we can talk about. But that's how I got into this racket.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no kidding. So talk about franchising finding you, really pulled you in. And sounds like an incredible opportunity that, you know, you just really didn't plan for. But here's this incredible individual in Jeff Duden, founder of AdvantiClean, that is taking clearly a successful business in North Carolina and seeing the value that's being given to clients there and seeing the opportunity to do that in more markets. I love what you said. You know, you said basically, hey, you're on board or you go find a job with the banks. And what a change in events. I can only imagine what was going through your mind, but ultimately you doubled down on doing just that, supporting his vision for franchising. And it really was rooted in doing it the right way. You took some time there to establish the foundation before really scaling. So let's dive into that. What did your role look like? Personally, from my experience being founder of Lime in a similar situation, taking some of our initial team, and I can see how our success has directly been attributed to their skills, their experience. And my goodness, we've been able to share some incredible experiences together in growing nationally. And, you know, we started off as a local company based out of Denver, and here we are. The team from that founding location, really some rock star sales folks that really that got the business, are now helping bring on new owners and getting them trained and learning those nuances of the business. What was that like in your position? I know from my standpoint, you know, I couldn't do it without those individuals, and to see them go on to own franchise locations of their own and so many different paths, but ultimately, it was all attributing to sharing what was our winning formula with other business owners, other markets. So what was that like at AdvantiClean and for you in that position?
Yeah, you know, at the time, Jeff had the vision. We had no idea what we thought we knew how to achieve it, but we had to fail. We failed for a couple of years, you know, like we tried everything. I think one of the big things that Jeff did that was smart was we had this commercial services arm that was the cash flow that could fund the franchise investment, because it took a while for us to put the pieces of the software and the call center in place. And then most importantly, what actually took the longest was figuring out how to recruit the right franchise owners that we wanted to partner with. We weren't looking for folks in the restoration industry. We wanted to partner with business people who could build a team of people and leverage the systems that we had spent the time building and putting together to scale the business. So that is what took, man, I think I spent 2 years of my life talking to people who didn't buy a franchise. So I started in the whole franchise recruitment thing. And again, like we just had the mentality like, hey, we're going to figure this thing out, which looking back on it, there might've been an easier way to accelerate things. But that experience ended up, I think, paying off in the long run. So I spent 2 years of my life on the phone grinding with no results. And then we got hooked up with the franchise broker world. And we started dabbling in it with these other, you know, these networks that send you a bunch of names and emails, and they're not qualified candidates. They say they've talked to them. They haven't. They're just basically advertising your brand on these franchise portals, right? And hawking your leads. But then we started to get into like the inner circle of the franchise broker world. And it was TES was the first one. Then it was FranNet. And we're always like, oh, FranChoice, these guys are going to kick our ass when, you know, if we're not ready for it, because we were intimidated, because back then it was a different ballgame. So spent a bunch of years working through the secondary networks, and then TES helped us a lot. And then that's when I started to get in this whole franchise development game. And it was Jeff Bean and Sexy Wexy so Jeff Bean was at CertaPro, Sexy Wexy was the cleaning authority. And I just asked him, I was like, dudes, how do you sell these freaking franchises? I cannot figure this thing out. And they told me, and they helped me. They coached me, they mentored me. And I was like, oh, wait, you have to have a process? Like a process. Don't just get on the phone and talk to people and be nice and invite them to come to Discovery Day when they're not ready. And, you know, all this stuff, right? So funding, what, you know, what? They have to figure out their own funding. So anyways, by getting connected with guys that have been doing it for a long time, they were very open and being humble about it and just asking for help and not being afraid about it. We started to piece it together and just snowballed from there. And it worked. We figured it out. AdvantaClean was very broker heavy. Like that was where we recruited most of our franchise owners. And again, it was at the time, like we had this attractive value proposition, this recession resistance, because the world was going through this big change, right? And the credit markets had frozen up and we weren't a super expensive business at the time. So a little bit was right place, right time, but we were able to capitalize on it. And by getting connected with the right people, that was it. Like it was the getting connected with the right people and asking the right questions and being willing to listen to what they actually said and then implement what they said was the single thing that changed the trajectory for me. Because Jeff gave me way too much responsibility at a young age. I don't think the textbooks would tell Jeff to do what he did, but you know, we worked together on it extensively and figured it out. And then I kind of had a good run at AdvantaClean. And then I got tapped on the shoulder by Frankie Milner over at Tutor Doctor, which I can't tell you how many deals we lost to Tutor Doctor back in like that 08 through 2012 run up. Cause Tutor Doctor was the darling, man. They were the hottest franchise in the country. And I watched it like from the trenches. And I was always like, God, how are they selling so many franchises, you know? And because they have like, they had an attractive deal. And so I kind of like run my gamut at AdvantaClean and was kind of ready for the next challenge. And Frank tapped me and he's like, hey, come over and do this. And I had no idea what I was getting into with Tutor Doctor. I was like, oh, you guys sell, you're a hot franchise. I'm in, let's do this. Right. I think I just had kids and it was like, probably again, not like the most responsible decision I made, but Frank's like, yeah, hey, we need your help to sell 120 franchises a year. We're going to hit the international market hard. And I'm like, dude, I don't know anything about international stuff. I'm just a honky from Delaware. And 120 franchises a month, when you've been selling like 20 a year, once things kind of cooled off, I'm like, dude, that's a big jump. He's like, we're going to figure it out. And so that is when I got really deep into franchise lead generation and marketing. As we were expanding into different countries, what would work in one country would not work in the other in terms of you know, getting in front of the right people. Like in the UK, the job boards worked really, really well. Trade shows worked really, really well. But in the US, like that stuff didn't work. So it was, they gave me an unlimited budget, you know, to do what I needed to do. And that was cool. I got to test a lot of things. And that was our philosophy. It's like, hey, look, like we're willing to do anything, but you got to test it. You got to prove it. And if it works, we'll scale it. And so we tried a lot of different things and I built a sales team over there, folks that were around the world. I had somebody in Costa Rica, the UK, South Africa, Australia, Canada, the US. I never met any of these people in person. It was all through Skype. This is back in like 2014. So this is kind of before everybody kind of transitioned to Zoom and stuff, but we did it, man. We figured it out. We were cranking. We got that thing humming. We were selling like 10 to 14 franchises, not licenses, like net new franchise owners a month. And it was cool. Once we got the machine built, like it was fun.
So, and that was beyond just the US market. That was global franchise development. And you said 10 to 14 owners coming on board per month.
Yeah. Yeah. Around the country. I mean, Tutor Doctor was this amazing business model, right? It's tutor matchmaking. So it's a home-based, low investment business that basically we would work with parents to help them find the right tutor for their child. So we worked with kids of all ages, all subjects, any need, and it had some legs in terms of for folks that wanted to get into it, either have like a good lifestyle friendly owner operator business. And there was some franchise owners that really scaled it. So I think when I joined, there was about 300 franchise owners around the world with Tutor Doctor. And when I left, there was like 600 and now there's like 700. It's a big organization.
Yeah, that's incredible. You'd mentioned something that you eventually had to settle in on what the right owner looks like versus just kind of figuring it out or talking to the wrong people. You know, what are some of the nuances of, you know, between AdvantaClean and Tutor Doctor? Obviously you came into Tutor Doctor, that was probably more so zeroed in on, but you know, going back to that AdvantaClean experience, you know, you were really figuring that out. What did that look like? Because that's so important, understanding who exactly you are looking for and who is going to be successful within your franchise set system. That is just as much an art as it is a science. What was some of your experience and what was that like?
Yeah, that is a very important question. I'll tell you, we didn't really know at the beginning. We thought we knew. We thought we kind of wanted owner operators, guys that wanted to be in the truck and do the work with a couple technicians, and they can make really good money doing that. But then we started to kind of realize like we had something more scalable there. And we shifted a bit to more of folks in the corporate world that had sales, marketing, business development experience and some experience building a team. Because to scale that business, you had to get out there and develop relationships. So it was like all B2B with insurance agents, adjusters, HVAC companies, property management companies, like anybody and everybody that is in and around buildings. That's typically like where the transaction can happen, right? Like the plumber tells the homeowner to call AdvantiClean to come clean up the water because the plumbers don't do it. The homeowners don't know. They're just like, dude, my house just flooded. I just want to get back to life. And so when we started to hone in on that, that's when we really started to target folks that had that kind of, that weren't afraid to get out there and develop the relationships and network and do continuing education presentations and stuff like that. So first couple franchise owners we brought on board were more the owner operators. And we were always kind of tweaking and like paying attention to the business model because everything was so new and fresh to us. I mean, we were humble. Like we didn't have this like egotistical perspective on terms of we've got this amazing franchise, you'll be lucky to get it. Like we had a culture where we worked together with the franchise owners to hear their feedback and make tweaks and stuff like that. And that was part of the secret sauce that we had, was this amazing culture. And that was why people were coming on board, was because of the culture at AdvantiClean. And everybody had been with the company for a long time. We had the depth. People trusted us and we took care of the franchise owners. We over-supported them. But the one thing we couldn't do for them was to go out there and get the business, right? Like they had to go develop those relationships. And we were candid with people up front about like, hey, we have a plan. We'll help you implement the plan, but you got to go do this. And so I always remember like that. And that was never like the big objection. The big objection was, well, how do I hire people? Like that was the single biggest thing that would hold people back from moving forward. Well, I had gone to grad school for human resources and industrial organizational psychology. And that's what I was doing with the company before. So I had hired all these people in this company. I was selling the franchises. And then one day I was just like, you know what? Screw it, dude. I'll hire your first person. I'll help you hire your first person. I probably didn't say it like that. If I got brought before the National Labor Review Board, I would probably have crossed that line of whatever. But I was like, dude, I'll help you. I've done this. It's not that complicated. We have a process. And I can tell pretty quickly if I think somebody is going to have the potential you want. And then you make the final decision. But that was the one thing that helped a lot of people get comfortable with coming on board, is that we would spend a lot of time helping them find the right key lead technician at the beginning. Simple stuff, right? When you start, it's just like the simple things that if you ask, like, hey man, what's holding you back from moving forward? And they tell you, figure out if you can help them overcome it or not sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. For us, it was figuring out that building proposals in a timely manner was a bottleneck, right? So we start doing proposal building and pricing in-house, and my gosh, from day one to where it's at now, you know, total department technology built out and the systems around that, and every market's different and, you know, from a pricing standpoint, but just a tremendous amount of support to help folks that are in the business, growing it, delivering the brand experience. They can plug away from that and simply just send a video, and within 24, 48 hours, it's there, right? And much like you, it's like recruiting is a big deal. So we do very intimate support around recruiting subcontractors. So we run a subcontractor model, and our field support folks are going right into market, and we're leveraging partnerships with our national suppliers, and we're able to do that. From a recruiting standpoint, we're very much a high-performance sales organization, and much like AdvantiClean, we have plenty of owner-operators, but we also have these owners that are empire-minded, empire builders. They're more corporate America and join Lime to take advantage of the service and the playbook, but are looking to scale. And so building a sales team that goes out and establishes that business. Well, okay, well, how do I do that? A lot of our owners have had very successful careers in recruiting, but they've never recruited for this entry-level sales role for a high-end paint company. And so what started out as establishing the templates and correspondence is now all the way advanced to the point where we're actually doing the screening and adjusting the ads and giving reports on those spends, and then doing group national calls and 10 question questionnaires and personality tests. And each one of those have been layers of what you said, that due diligence as a franchise organization of understanding and tweaking, adjusting to the model and the needs of the owners with that feedback, because it's more than just, hey, we need to grow, we need to award locations. It's no, we need staying power. We need sustainable owners that are here and understand the expectations for what's required. And it's not just 1 or 2 years, but it's 10 years. And we have a 10-year agreement I'm sure VantaClean was along those same lines, but it's more than just awarding a territory and growing, but it's sustainable growth. And every business model is different. It's unique. And so at VantaClean, home service with restoration, painting, you know, two similar industries, very resistant, recession resistant. So many entrepreneurs or folks that want to get into business ownership, timing's important, but you guys were growing in 2008. I started my career in 2008 back in college, but we did a lot of our growth through the pandemic. And some of our biggest years or some of our most successful moments were when the world was shut down and at least started in those moments. And so it's just interesting how all that comes together, Drew. And I love your just intimate experience around what you do today is definitely not what you did with VantaClean and Tutor Doctor, but I can just see how that experience, you're able to rely and lean on that in helping matchmake and find out what are great business opportunities to pair with your candidates. I mean, my gosh, your clients that you're working with are getting just such top-notch consulting. I'm not just saying that. I mean, look at your pedigree speaks for itself. And so they're just very fortunate to work with you. And that's widely why FranChoice is considered the top firm in franchising, really because your peers are coming from similar backgrounds. And I've really appreciated that about FranChoice and working with yourself and your peers. But yeah, I want to dive into a little bit parlaying here from our conversation in what makes a successful franchise model from your experience being in brands and from the trenches, starting from the founding start to jumping right in the middle of growth and taking it to the next level on a global level to now helping matchmake and give people the American dream through franchise ownership. What is going through your head as you're evaluating? There's what, 4,000 franchise companies? I'm sure you're not working with all 4,000. So what are some of those themes? And I'm sure you're not pairing up your ace candidates with subpar brands. What makes an ace brand?
Yeah, it's a great question. As I sit on the side now where I help people find and evaluate different businesses, it's a totally different perspective and position than when I was in the trenches, you know, kind of helping to grow these brands, right? And I think the beautiful thing about franchising is that you can sit back and you can see which brands are most successful. Like at the end of the day, like the two things that the single most successful franchise companies do, and this is one of the biggest things that I look for in terms of like which brands I recommend to any candidates, is they have happy and profitable franchise owners. It sounds simple, but some companies do it a heck of a lot better than others. But at the end of the day, like when we were on the franchise side and like you too, right? Like if you have a core focus on just helping the franchise owners be profitable, be successful, they can control what they can control. And then we can help remove obstacles that might be in their way that we can do centrally or whatever it may be. Like you do with the estimates, you know, that's genius that you figure that out. And it's a huge thing in a painting business is to scope things right and price things right. If you can put all that together into, I don't care what the widget is, right? Like the best franchises are businesses that have widgets that most people overlook, right? Or underestimate. So, but they have this network of happy and profitable franchise owners and it's powerful. And that's what reduces the risk in this whole thing. And which is a big topic of conversation I have with candidates is like, hey, look, if we help you find the right franchise, it's your risk is going to be a lot less, but your upside is going to be massive at the same time. But you got to have an open mind if you want to do this the right way, right? Like painting. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be a painter. Well, you're not a painter. You're not painting houses, right? That's not the business model. The business model is to build a sales and marketing machine, subcontract out the work. And oh, by the way, we don't just do painting. We do all kinds of surface restoration. So that enables additional revenue streams, stuff like that. So long answer to your question, but like the guiding light is happy and profitable franchise owners.
And so there's a lot of different franchise companies that have varying degrees of success and can objectively be measured as profitability. Happy, profitable franchise owners. What do you feel like are some of those universal themes amongst these franchise organizations that contribute to profitable, happy franchise owners?
Yeah, good question. For me, like the thing that jumps out is, and I kind of learned this from VantaClean a little bit because that was a very B2B driven business and the franchise owners had to get out there and do the business development. We couldn't do it for them. I love the way that a business acquires customers and the way that a business has figured out to acquire customers can have a tremendous amount of value and also enable, I think, more options from a lifestyle standpoint to the owners. And I've kind of come to appreciate businesses that you can put money into an advertising campaign and it consistently generates leads, right? Whatever that may be. So I think that adds some scalability to the business model. And then, you know, there's how the franchises have structured the ownership role is a very key thing that, like what you guys have done in really giving the owner some options, but also identifying the core fundamentals of the stuff that needs to happen in order for the business to thrive. So if that means hiring a salesperson, then, you know, you're going to help them hire a salesperson, right? But I think ultimately giving owners the ability to get into a role that can CEO this thing. Maybe they don't start off as a CEO, but they can get it to a point where the business is big enough to afford to pay a staff of people and still make really good money. And then that's what enables some of the lifestyle benefits to it. I think the best franchise companies have an amazing culture. Like they work hard on cultivating a culture and bringing people on board, home office staff to the franchise owners, to the franchise owner staff that aligns with the mission and the vision and the values that that company has set in stone around what they want their culture to be like. Because I think like if you can get the culture piece right and you can really embrace the franchise owners, those franchise owners are going to figure out new ways to do stuff. It's like a free research and development department. You know what I mean? Like if you're embracing the feedback from the field and from the trenches and listening to it and figuring out a way to harness it, like maybe it's not, we're going to react to every idea that a franchise owner has, but we're going to create a process. Maybe it's like a monthly or quarterly mastermind where we bring franchise owners together to share ideas. And then we tell them, hey, look, we'll kind of vote as a group on how to, what ideas we think we can execute on. And then knowing that it might take 90 to 180 days to maybe execute on that stuff. It's not going to be overnight, but like there's a system to harness that kind of feedback. I think that can be pretty powerful in the franchise system. And, you know, some franchise companies do that better than others. So, you know, it's all the stuff kind of under the hood behind the scenes. It's kind of hard to measure at the end of the day that I think, you know, candidates have to experience for themselves when they go through the research process. But those are some of the things that bubble to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, an effective way of generating leads and a process for driving sales, driving revenue, culture. I mean, my gosh, culture kicks strategy's butt every day, right? And if you have crazy awesome culture and top-notch strategy, I mean, that's just the ultimate combo. And then your final piece there, the innovation. My gosh, collaboration and innovation. You talked about some of the things back behind the hood. I think a practical way to evaluate that is Franchise Advisory Council, something that is structured in a committee format that's unanimously voted in by the owners, that committee. And, you know, as the brand evolves and adjusts to the competitive landscape, the market, whether it's the economy or just changes in the industry or just the business evolving and getting better, there constantly needs to be innovation. And if that innovation is just coming from the brand and not including the franchise owners, it's pretty silly because those franchise owners are day in, day out, living, breathing, and delivering that brand experience. And so, yeah, some of that back behind the curtain, if you will, you know, something like an FAC is most certainly going to give you an indication on, you know, what makes for a successful company, and including owners in that innovation is paramount. Awesome. So, oh my gosh, generating leads, driving sales, crazy good culture, an eye for innovation that includes the franchise owners. Drew, I mean, that's gold. You know, those are just words, but the reality of what those things mean are paramount. And clearly you've lived those things out. So I appreciate your wisdom there in sharing that. So I want to transition a little bit. Nowadays, you're working with folks to step into business ownership and you're helping them evaluate this landscape of some of the things we just mentioned. So what are some tips that you would give to some of your clients around how to successfully go through the franchise discovery process?
Yeah, that's where I spend most of my time. I tell people, I'm like, hey, me helping you find good brands to look at is the easy part. You doing the research is the hard part. It's more work than most people think. I think the first thing is like, there's a lot of benefit in comparing and contrasting different businesses to really kind of like look under the hood of different franchise models, check some of the boxes that are important to people that I help them figure out and all that kind of stuff. But that's the science that goes into this thing to kind of figuring out if there is one that's the right fit out there. Everybody says it's a mutual evaluation process, and that's true. But I call it a dance. The franchise company is trying to get information from the candidates. The candidates trying to get information from the franchise companies. And you have to be nice on both ways in order for that to work. So it's a little bit of a dance to get the information. And most folks don't know what a franchise disclosure document is and I've never seen one before. So doing kind of working with the reps to get the 30,000 foot view information. But the most important thing, and people that don't work with franchise consultants, this is how they buy franchises and this is where they get in trouble, is they don't spend time validating with existing franchise owners to really hear what it's like and how successful the franchise owners are of certain franchises. And that is where the great ones separate themselves. They have a strong foundation of franchise owners that are, you know, all around the country having success and they're happy and profitable and all kinds of stuff. And there's consistency among that, which is what you want to hear from the candidate's perspective. So that's it. And it's buckle in for an emotional roller coaster of a 6 to 8 week ride. And there'll be some sleepless nights, people calling you crazy, all that kind of stuff. But if you have something inside of you that is driving you and you are genuinely trying to make a change in your life by getting into your own business, then the possibilities are endless. And if you follow that simple process and put the work in, you can really reduce your risk and look and find some amazing businesses that most people overlook.
Yeah. Someone is going through this discovery process. They're talking to different franchise companies. You called it a dance. Why do you say it's a dance?
Maybe it's because I've been doing this for 17 years and I'm just tired of saying the same old stuff. look, at the end of the day, it's like when I think a franchise company and a franchise candidate decide to do a deal, sign the agreements, like it's like marriage. You're stuck with each other. for a long time, it's got to be a good fit. So you got to get to know each other first, right? Good franchise companies want to get to know the candidates. Candidates want to get to know the franchise companies. So there's an exchange of information. That's what I refer to as the dance. But if a candidate's being a dick and coming in with an entitled attitude and expecting this franchise company to bend over backwards and just whatever, that's not how you dance with somebody. And if a franchise rep is being a cocky, arrogant dick and not treating the candidates with respect and respecting the level of decision that they're making, then that rep is going to reflect on what the candidate thinks about that franchise company and won't spend the time getting to the validation to really hear what it's like. So it's a two-way street. And I'm a big advocate for franchise owners, massive advocate for franchise owners. That's kind of how I've always run from the times when I was on the corporate side to what I do today. And so I think franchise companies have a little bit of advantage over franchise candidates because they have more information, more experience, obviously. So I try to help people figure out a way to level the playing field as much as they can to gather the information so that they can make the best decision for them and their family. And going through the process with a very specific way, with a little bit of help from me to guide them through it, they can gather all the information they need to figure out if anything is the right fit.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not recommending
cussing on your podcast.
But I think it speaks to the point. I mean, it delivers the message, which is where I was getting at there. I'm sure you're not recommending your clients to those organizations that represent that sort of demeanor or the way that they approach that discovery process, right? I mean, you talked about culture being a special part of a successful company. And you're even going back to your Advantaclean days, you're saying, hey, we didn't even have a process. And we were just talking to people and trying to get them to discovery day when they weren't ready. And so this discovery process is about education. It's educationally driven. An ideal scenario, the brand is just as invested as you are in understanding, hey, is this going to be a happy marriage? And it's not about selling a franchise. It's about awarding a franchise. And I know you're somebody that's probably working with candidates that more times than not, you're helping them figure out this is not for you. And that's a part of that process. And so having an established process on the franchise side and on your side, I think it really helps candidates get educated. And that's what discovery is all about, is getting educated around, hey, is this culture for me? Can I be married here for 10 years to this organization? And do they have those winning formulas that I will be able to execute on that align with my lifestyle needs? And I'm preaching to the choir here. This is clearly where you live and eat, breathe, and what you do and the value you bring for your candidates. But that dance is exactly that. You have to come to that dance, that discovery process with a humble heart. And heard you say humility so many times. I love the fact that you're saying that. I've been on this kick as of probably the last month talking about humility. I think that the most successful business people just in business in general, are humble because business is all relationships. And nobody wants to have a relationship with somebody that doesn't have a humble heart. And once you're in the driver's seat, it takes humility to look yourself in the mirror to level up. It takes humility to get coached. It takes humility to, in tough moments, great moments, in great moments to be grateful, and in hard moments to be graceful. And so you're in that relationship together, winning and learning. And it's not always graceful, but it can be if there's humility. And I know when we're evaluating folks coming through our discovery process, I mean, I think at the forefront of that is this somebody that we can dance with, in your words, right? Not just dance with now, but dance with ongoing, because for your clients, this is a process that for you comes to an end, but for us, it's really just the beginning. And from a brand standpoint, as you know, and so, yeah, how they dance is normally going to be how they dance on the other side. And yeah, so, you know, Drew, I want to wrap up with this question. I mean, I've been inspired by this conversation. I've most certainly leveled up, but I'm curious, why do you love franchising so much?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, right, we're never really taught about entrepreneurship, but everybody wants to own their own business, right? That's the American dream. Mm-hmm. But we're never ever formally taught about it, right, in school. But I think we have it inside of us, but we're kind of groomed to go the corporate path a lot of times, right? And I think franchising, for folks that have that fire inside of them, but they don't have the idea, the right franchise can help that person achieve everything that they kind of have inside, like they know is inside of them, and they know what's possible with a lot less risk, and go off to achieve amazing things. Some of the businesses that I've seen people build in franchising is mind-blowing. And some of the money they've made is mind-blowing. Like, I mean, I know a guy got in with Orange Theory 2012, before Orange Theory was Orange Theory, and he exited to a private equity company. Freaking private equity company came in, backed up the money truck, and bought his multi-unit operation. Like, pretty damn cool, right? A fitness business. And what does everybody say about fitness? But, oh, it's just a fad, right? It's just going to go out of business. What's the next fad, right? Well, Dwayne proved you guys wrong on that one. So I think franchising can open up so many possibilities for folks that just kind of have that fire inside of them, you know, that, and probably miserable in the corporate world because they don't know that there's other options out there. So yeah, that's my answer today. Might change, but my answers always change. But no, that's I think fundamentally, like, a good franchise system for the right people can also provide like massive financial opportunities, not just from building a business that's spitting off cash flow and enabling a nice lifestyle that you can't have doing anything else, but also from an exit, like from a retirement standpoint. And if you do build a successful business the right way, somebody is going to probably give you a big old premium for that. So there's like personal fulfillment, there's financial fulfillment, and I'm blown away every day by the types of franchises I learn about that people are having success with. So that's what keeps it fun and interesting.
Yeah, I think it's easy to think about the lifestyle and the yearly revenue that you can earn. But what's widely overlooked is that you're building an asset, and that asset has value. In situations like Dwayne's, private equity or any buyer is going to put a value on that. And that's just a special thing about business ownership, specifically franchise ownership. Drew, thank you for getting on the show today. I appreciate your precious time. I really appreciate it.
Nick, I'm honored, man. Thank you for having me. And I've enjoyed the discussion.
Absolutely. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah. Easiest way is just give me a Google. Spell my first name, D-R-U. Last name is Carpenito. And I think I'm the only Drew Carpenito in the country that spells his name with a D-R-U. So that's the easiest way.
I'll validate that. I Googled you and that's the case. I mentioned it. Yeah. Franchise Masters podcast. Check it out. Check him out on LinkedIn. Google him. Drew Carbonito. Only one. I know it. But my gosh, Drew, I've learned so much. I've leveled up. I'm sure our audience has. So please subscribe. This is how we're able to continue to grow and do just this. Help people level up by speaking to thought leaders in franchising, business, high performance, personal development. Today's conversation definitely covered all those things, from Drew's time founding and helping found what is one of today's top franchise brands in AdvantiClean, and taking Tutor Doctor to the next level, to the nuances of how he finds opportunities for his clients to live out their American dream. Please contribute to that conversation down below, drop a comment, and as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.